I would encourage you, if you can balance it, to keep your Bibles open to Exodus 31, as we'll be referring back to that through the course of this afternoon's message. And we're going to be looking at Lord's Day 38 from the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 38 deals with the fourth commandment. And I ask, what is God's will for us in the fourth commandment? Of course, the fourth commandment is dealing with keeping the Sabbath day holy. And the answer is this: first, let the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained. And that, especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray publicly to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through His Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on His Word as we look at it this afternoon. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the gift of rest. We're thankful that this is meaningful to you, and so it should be meaningful to us. And as we consider our rest in you this afternoon, we pray, O Lord, that you would guide us with your word and with your spirit, that your spirit would convict us, it would comfort us, it would guide us and lead us, so that we may honor you in our use of this your day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to the fourth commandment this afternoon, we need to recognize that this is the last commandment dealing with our relationship with God. Well, I have to be careful with that. It's not the last commandment, but you remember the first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. They have that vertical dimension, love for God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the remaining six will deal with our relationship with our neighbor. I think we have to be careful with that. That still involves our relationship with God. God teaches us in John, our first John, that if we say we love God and we don't love our neighbor, then we really don't love God. So it does deal with our relationship with God as well. But particularly the first four commandments deal with our relationship with Him. And the first commandment starts identifying whom we trust is our God. And there is to be no other God in whom we trust other than the true and the living God. The second commandment deals with how we worship this God whom we trust. And when it comes to His worship and what He wants in worship, we're to be guided not by our preferences, but by His preference. And then the third commandment deals with honoring His name, that He is a holy God, that He is a God whose glory has weight and significance in our lives, and we are to reflect that. Well, as we grow and develop in our relationship with Him, we come to the fourth commandment, and that is maintaining Sabbath rest. That this is a commandment, maintaining a Sabbath rest, that deals with and is identifying our relationship with God. And I'd like us to consider that and go through in a series of sermons, probably two sermons, as we consider, first of all, this afternoon, the principles involved in the Sabbath, and Lord willing, next Sunday to look at the practices involved in Sabbath rest as well. So, first of all, this afternoon, the principles. What are some of the basic ideas behind the gift of the Sabbath that God has given to us? Well, before we consider the points this afternoon, there's something to consider as well, and that is the difference between the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and in Deuteronomy chapter 5. It's in this commandment particularly that there's a different reason stated for why the Sabbath day is to be observed. In Exodus 20, it is because of God's creation, that in 6 days He created the heavens and the earth, and He rested on the seventh day. Whereas in Deuteronomy 5, it has to do with redemption. And Israel is responsible to maintain the Sabbath day because God delivered them out of Egypt, out of the bondage of slavery, and so they are to commit this day to Him. Two reasons that reflect and teach the work of God as the foundation for our rest. You see, that's why it's a vertical dimension in this use of the Sabbath day. That what we're focusing on the Sabbath is God's work, not ours. His work of creation, His work of redemption. Now, to understand what this Sabbath means, I'd like us to consider the principles. And some of those principles are identified very clearly for us in Exodus 31, but also in Hebrews 4, or Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4. And there's three things, particularly from Exodus 31, that I would like us to reflect upon to understand what is going on with the Sabbath. And first of all, the number of Sabbaths that are identified. You'll notice in Exodus 31, verse 13, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. It's the plural use there, Sabbaths. Well, how many Sabbaths are there? Just to quickly identify that. Secondly, the reasons that God's Word gives why there is a Sabbath. And so that will deal with three reasons why there's a Sabbath. And thirdly, the pattern for the Sabbath. So that's what we're going to look at this afternoon. And as we consider then God's Word, first of all, we need to understand the number of Sabbaths that are taught in God's Word. And we need to recognize that Sabbath certainly applies to one day in seven. But there were more Sabbaths that God's Word identifies than just that weekly Sabbath. We're going to call that one day in seven the weekly Sabbath that God had instituted. But in the Old Testament, there were more Sabbaths than just the weekly Sabbath. There were Sabbaths, Leviticus 23 tells us, there were Sabbaths that were associated with the various feasts that Israel was responsible to have the men go to Jerusalem for. So that was the Feast of Passover, when they would celebrate their redemption from Egypt. There was the Feast of Booths, where they would get together and all sleep in tents to remind them of the time that they wandered in the wilderness. And then there was the Feast of Ingathering, or the Feast of Pentecost. It was the Feast of Harvest, where they were to come before God with their first fruits. And those feasts had a Sabbath day associated with them. That is, a day of rest. A day in which they were to do no work. They were to set it aside to enjoy the feast with God. But then there were other Sabbaths as well. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, or that day when the high priest would go into the most holy place with the sacrificial blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. That was a day as well, a Sabbath day. And Scripture identifies that not as a day of feasting, but a day of mourning for their sins. And their Sabbath was designed to not do any work so that they could afflict their souls, so that they could actually grieve before the Lord because of their sin. And so the Sabbath didn't have this festal character as the other feast did, but a very mournful and lamenting character. And so that was a Sabbath that was associated with the Day of Atonement. Then there was the Feast of Trumpets. And the Feast of Trumpets, I believe, is unique because it has an eighth-day Sabbath as well, almost anticipating the first day where we rejoice in the triumphal victory of our Savior Jesus Christ. Beyond those regular Sabbaths, there's another Sabbath. Leviticus 25 identifies a seven-year Sabbath. A seven-year Sabbath. So every 7 years, they were to not put their implements to the ground. They weren't to do any work on their fields. They were to allow their fields to produce whatever they did and to share in the provision that those fields produced. That was every 7 years, the seven-year Sabbath. And then there was every 50 years, there was the year of Jubilee. Again, the fullness, you had 49 years would be the seventh. And then after that, there was the 50th year and the year of Jubilee. And that was a time in which slaves were set free. land that had been sold was returned to its original owners, and it was a way in which Israel would recognize the wonder of God's provision for them. So there's a variety of Sabbaths. But now you begin to see, when we think of all those different Sabbaths, and I think particularly of the year-long Sabbath that God had established every 7 years, and the year of Jubilee every 50 years, you begin to see why the first three commandments really set the stage for the fourth commandment. Because if you're going to set down your tools for a whole year, who do you trust? Who do you trust? If you're going to set down your tools for a whole year, what are you going to do that whole year? Is it just a year-long holiday? Or is it an opportunity to enhance your relationship with the Lord and to recognize His provision? Are you going to be so caught up with God's glory that you're going to spend that year honoring and glorifying His name? What sort of God will provide for you through those times? You see, they weren't times of idleness. And here's something where we learn about the Sabbath as well. A time not to do work. But that's not a holiday. It's not a time to take off. It's a time to be engaged in different activities. What sort of God will provide for you? It is actually, in fact, Leviticus 25 tells us that God anticipated this question. He knows us. And He says, the reason I have determined this is because I want you to trust me. It's good for your souls to be faced with reliance on the Lord for Sabbath provisions. Now, when we're dealing with the fourth commandment, there's a variety of different Sabbaths that you can find in the Old Testament. But the fourth commandment is dealing with what we know as the weekly Sabbath. The others were ceremonial rules that God associated with the worship of Israel and with His design for them to live in the land to preserve the seed for the coming of the Messiah. But we recognize from this understanding of the number of Sabbaths that in Scripture there's a broader idea of Sabbath than just one day a week. It has to do with our relationship with the Lord. So then, when God calls us in the fourth commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy, He's talking about the weekly Sabbath. But for us to understand, there's deeper principles behind the Sabbath. And as we look at Exodus 31, we begin to understand the reasons. There's reasons that God tells us why Sabbaths are to be maintained, but especially the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, is particularly to be maintained. And we're confronted with this right away in verse 13. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you keep my Sabbath. And here's the reason. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. It's a sign. It's a sign of a relationship that God has established with His people. A relationship that has a profound effect upon His people. And what is that effect that we're looking for? I, the Lord, sanctify you. The reason for maintaining the Sabbath is for us to recognize that even for our sanctification, we're not left to our own efforts, to our own endeavors, to our own ambitions, but we are to look to the Lord to sanctify us, and for that sanctification, He has blessed us with a Sabbath day. So how precious is sanctification? How urgent is your sanctification? How diligent are you to strive for rest? It's a sign between God and His people. Throughout our generations. How precious is this privilege of knowing that God gives us a day where He's going to work on our souls and work in our souls and to cultivate us to trust in Him the more we get to know Him. This is part and parcel of our walk in dependence upon Him. He promises this. Earlier we were talking, you read through Exodus 31, and is God really going to destroy those who don't keep His Sabbath day? And we've sung about this in Psalm 92. We've sung in this in in stanza 4. O Lord, You have exalted me with royal strength and dignity. With Your anointing I am blessed. Your grace and favor on me rest. My eyes have seen the wicked die. My ears have heard their hopeless cry. What does that sound like? What does that look like? What does it mean that those who don't keep the Sabbath day are going to die? They come under the threat of death. My eyes have seen the wicked die. My ears have heard their hopeless cry. What is it? I'm so busy, I don't have time to set apart for the Lord. It's the cry of death. You want to kill someone's soul, you consume them with their daily labors. It's a sign that I, the Lord, sanctify you. But then we proceed. There's another reason. Another reason found in verse 14. You shall keep the Sabbath. Next reason. Because it is holy for you. This designation is dealing particularly with the weekly Sabbath. It is a day. Verse 15. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. There's a significant reversal here. As glorious as it is that we've been called to work, we've been created to work, we've been called to engage in the cultural mandate, we've been equipped by God to be engaged in our 6 days a week of work. But work is not the most meaningful part of your lives. It is one of those significant ways in which we serve the Lord. But if we profane God's holy name, His holy day, and take it lightly, we will be cut off. It's a voluntary severing of what is most significant for our spirituality. This is something that is holy to God. This is something that God has designated as a reflection of His character. It's a holy day. That's the second reason. The third reason why the Sabbath day is to be kept is there's a covenant dimension to this day. And we see this in verse 16. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. As a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. It is this covenant character that needs to be teased out. It's a covenant character that flows from creation, that God worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh day. There's a creation pattern involved, a day that reflects how God deals with His creation. And here we begin to develop then a basic principle of Sabbath rest. That our understanding of Sabbath rest flows from and starts with the fact that God's rest is the reason for your rest. God's rest, as we look at these reasons, that it's a sign, it's a holy day, it's a covenant. God's rest is the reason for our rest. That's an astounding reality. The reason God has blessed us with this day, remember we're in the first four commandments on that first table of the law that's dealing with our relationship with God, and we look to Him and we see He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, we rest on the Sabbath day. Let's dig into this pattern just a little bit more, and thirdly, consider the pattern. The pattern is so important. And were you struck by that when you read through the Heidelberg Catechism? First, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained, and that especially, and here's the idea, on the festive day of rest. Festive day of rest. Yes, a festive day of rest. Is that our regard for the Sabbath? The pattern for the Sabbath is how God relates to His creation. God rested and was refreshed. It was His refreshment in His rest that makes this day a festive day. God created paradise. God created the world. He established paradise in the Garden of Eden, and He created it according to the pattern of heaven itself. It shows the glory and the splendor, the power and His goodness, and the goodness of His presence. And He was there in paradise, and it was reflected in that Sabbath rest that He would enjoy. And it originated with His relationship with the world. In Genesis 2, verse 3, God blessed the Sabbath day. He blessed it. He made it a day of blessing and a day that was holy. Now, after the fall, all of this has been cut, or man has been cut off from all of this. He's not allowed this privilege. He's kicked out of the garden. Now, the hope for rest could only be maintained through the promise of the gospel. Rest is obtained now, since the fall of Adam and Eve in paradise, through God's promise. Through the promise of a Savior who had overcome the effects of sin. This is why the gospel ministry and education for it needs to be maintained, so that promise can be made known to the nations, and that those who are living in restless existence, who have no hope in this world, can come to hear the promise that God is the one who is able to save from sin. And this was so important for Israel. And now as we reflect upon the pattern, paradise was a pattern of heaven. But when that was lost through sin, God restored that pattern of heaven magnificently through the restoration of worship within Israel. When He established the nation and called them to Him at Mount Sinai, He brought Moses up on the mountain, and on Mount Sinai there he was given a pattern for the tabernacle. And the ornamentation and the expression of that tabernacle was a reflection of God's heavenly presence. This is why in Isaiah, when Isaiah has that vision in Isaiah 6, he goes into the temple, what is reflective of the temple, and the temple of the Lord is actually the presence of God. And there he sees the overwhelming holiness of God. Heaven on earth, a Sabbath rest for man to enter and to come to that place where God touches the earth. And Sabbath rest needs to show the pattern of deliverance from the bondage of sin. It shows that created order which was compromised through sin, but the restoration of it that comes through the gospel ministry. And as Israel was about to enter the promised land, God says in Deuteronomy 5, "This is the reason you are to keep this day holy. Because I'm the God who redeems you. I'm the God who delivers you. I can set you free from the bondage of sin and of misery. And I've redeemed you into the realization of my promises. And so as you go into that promised land, there's going to be one place where I set up my presence. You make sure you go there and you get there and you rest with me there. You're coming home to what you've been created for, to what you've been redeemed for. But in all of that, realize you haven't finally arrived. This is what Hebrews 4 is concerned with when it talks about a rest that was never really realized. Joshua didn't finally give them rest. He couldn't do that. He wasn't that perfect Messiah. Even David anticipated this in Psalm 95 when he says, "Today, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion." Remind us that there still remains this promise of rest that is yet to be achieved. And Hebrews tells us there's a promise of rest that God provides for His people, a promise that needs to be pursued by faith and obedience. And when that is done, we get a flavor and a savor of that eternal Sabbath. And the Heidelberg Catechism reminds us of that. Not only is this a festive day of rest, but when we have the Lord working in us through sanctification, then every day of my life I rest from my evil ways and let the Lord work in me through His Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. We begin in this life that eternal Sabbath, that eternal communion, that eternal fellowship. Oh, we don't have it in all of its fullness, but we have it by faith in anticipation. Here is another principle. One of the basic principles of Sabbath rest, we said earlier, is that God's rest is the reason for our rest. But here's another principle, that God's rest is the pattern for our rest. That rest that God provides in creation and restores in redemption maintains the rhythm and the pattern of life. How important that is. That pattern that God has established of rest and refreshment in Him, of Sabbath rest, must liberate us from our self-serving, self-absorbed, self-concerned, self-determined character, and to express our reliance and trust in the true God. You see, the fundamental rhythm of life is not the pursuit and the achievement of my pleasures. The fundamental principle of the rhythm of life is the pursuit and the receipt of God's pleasure, of His rest. Christ has restored this creation purpose of rest. His resurrection is the testimony of this restored purpose, this restored pattern, this restored reason for rest. That's why the church shifted from the Sabbath being on the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week. There's a biblical pattern in that. We see this in 1 Corinthians 8. We see this in Revelation 1. That on the first day of the week, anticipated already in some of those eighth day Sabbaths that they had in the Old Testament, now there is a fulfillment of that redemption reflected on the first day. But see how this fits with God's covenant pattern, with how God deals with the first Adam. With the first Adam, it's the seventh day. With the first Adam, his responsibility before God was to obey and then receive the promised fulfillment. Rest on the seventh day. But with the second Adam, all the obedience is achieved. Everything that he was responsible for has been accomplished. His work is complete, and now the rest of the Sabbath is yours. Now your week starts with the testimony and the realization that Christ has risen to bring life to those who are dead. Now rest and work. From the first day of the week, now you rest and then you go out to work in service of gratitude and thanksgiving to God. But the urgency of the principle yet remains. Hebrews 4, verse 11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Sabbath day is now the Lord's day. A day with these abiding principles. The reason for rest is God's Sabbath rest. The pattern of rest is the introduction to our eternal rest. A day when we know God, through His creative and redemptive work, will cause us to pursue Him and His pleasure above our own. It's a day of redemption. It's a day of refreshment. It's a day of rest. That's the principle behind our practices. Sometimes we come to the Sabbath and we say, well, what can I do? What can't I do? First, we have to understand the principles. Then we begin to understand the place of the activities. May God help us to be diligent, to strive, to put all of our energy into pursuing Him on this day of rest. Amen.